Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We are on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, that's Daf 4a, and we are 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down from the top, fourth word on the line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We've been discussing the sabbatical year, the seventh year, which is called in the Gemara Shvi'it, the seventh year, and we sometimes call it as the Shemitah year. And what we've been discussing is a law that says that even before the seventh year begins, in the end of the sixth year, you cannot work the land, because working the land at the end of the sixth year is really for the benefit of the seventh year. And we identify that there are two stages, or there's two levels of this prohibition. One is a deoraita, comes from the Torah, and that appears to be for the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, that it's from the Torah that you cannot work the land. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, we said this is derived as a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it is derived from psukim, from verses in the Torah. And then we have an additional rabbinic addition. We have an addition added on by the Beit Din of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Hillel and Shammai added on that from around the time of Pesach, for one kind of field, and from Shavuot for another kind of field, you couldn't work the land as well. So they extended it. And what we've been talking about is how Rabban Gamliel, a bit later, at the end of the Second Temple period, at the end of Bayit Sheni, Rabban Gamliel's court came and nullified this this decree. Now, according to our recording last time, we said that they just nullified the ruling of the court of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel had left it open that a future court could negate and abnegate their decree. So, according to the opinion that we had last time, you still couldn't work the land for the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, but from Pesach and Shavuot, that decree was abolished by the court of Rabban Gamliel. However, now we see a different opinion. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabban Gamliel u'Beit Din, or Rabban Gamliel and his court, mid'oraita batilahu. It's not that they nullified the rabbinic opinion of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, they actually uprooted the Torah law itself. My time, how did they do this, or what was the reasoning? Gamar Shabbat Shabbat. They derived a Gzeirah Shavah, which is a rabbinic teaching in which we find the same word or a very similar word in two different locations, and we connect them in a halachic way. So in this particular case, the word Shabbat is found related to Shabbos, and it's also found related to Shemitah, which is called a Shabbat, a year of Shabbat. So Shabbat Shabbat mi Shabbat Breishit, just like we have Shabbat in Malahalan, just like in Shabbat, when you use the word Shabbat, hi asura, the day of Shabbat is forbidden in melacha, in labor. Lifaneha ul'achareha mutarin. But Friday and Sunday, the day before Shabbat and the day after Shabbat, those days are permitted in labor. In other words, it's only the day of Shabbat. Afkan, so to hear in the seventh year, so Shabbat is the seventh day and Shemitah is the seventh year, afkan, hi asura, the year of Shemitah is forbidden in agricultural labor. Lefanehu lachra mutarim, but the sixth year and the eighth year are permitted, and you shouldn't prohibit work that was done in the sixth year. So they uprooted it by using this Gezeirah Shavah that seems to say that no work in the sixth year should be prohibited. Tosfot asks a question on this. We know that there is a rule that, according to many authorities, is the oraita that you must extend Shabbat, that you're supposed to bring Shabbat in a few minutes earlier than it technically starts and a few minutes later than it technically ends. This is called Tosefet Shabbat. So that is a precedent for saying it's not only Shabbat that's forbidden, there's also some extension into Friday and into Sunday. So we might also expect some extension back into the sixth year and back into the eighth year. And if it's proportional, that could be a significant amount of time. But Tosafot says no, Tosefet Shabbat is really just a de minimis. It's just a tiny little bit amount of time, and it doesn't really factor in here. Okay. Matkif la Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks an attack question on this derivation of Rabbi Yochanan. Manda Amar Hilchata, the one who says that this is derived as a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, in other words, Rabbi Yishmael, Atya Gzeira Shava Akra Hilchata, you're going to have a Gzeres Shava that is going to uproot a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. A Gzeres Shava, even a legitimate Gzeres Shava that was taught by a teacher and that is, so to speak, authentic Gzeres Shava, cannot uproot a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Umanda Amar Kra, and the one who says that it's derived from verses, that is Rabbi Akiva, Ate Gzeres Shava Akra Kra, and the Gzeres Shava is going to come and uproot a explicit verse from the Torah. It can't do that either. So according to both opinions, you have a problem here. How could Rabbi Yochanan uproot the Torah law when he does not have a utensil, a tool of sufficient power? His Gezerah Shava of Shabbat is not sufficiently powerful either to uproot a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or to uproot explicit psukim. So the Gemara accepts this refutation of the first version, Ela Amar Ravashi, and it restates Ravashi's, Ravashi will restate it in a different way. Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino, Rabbi Gamliel and his court, Savri Lak Rabbi Yishmael. They held like Rabbi Yishmael, that is, they held that it was derived as a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, to Amar Hilchata, that it was a law given to Moshe on Sinai, Gemiri La, that's how they learn it. The Chigemire Hilchata, and when they learned this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. The law was only taught when there is a Beit HaMikdash. Dumia, similar to Nisuch HaMayim. And if you'll recall from when we first learned this, there were three halachot that were always learned together. One of them was Eser Netiyot, to the law of how many saplings could be planted and how big an area in order for it to be irrigated in the sixth year. And that's the one that we were talking about. That's the sixth year of Shemitah. Arava, the ritual of carrying the river willows around the Mizbeach in the Beit HaMikdash, and Nisuch HaMayim, the water libation offering, which was only done on Sukkot. So both Arava and Nisuch HaMayim were both done on Sukkot, and they were both done only in the time when there was a Beit HaMikdash. So just as those two are only in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it only specifies Nisuch HaMayim, but it's true for both of them. So to Eser Netiyot, the rule of not doing agricultural work in the sixth year, should also only apply in the times of the Beit HaMikdash. Dumya de Nisuch HaMayim, similar to Nisuch HaMayim, aval bizman shebein Beit HaMikdash kayam, but when there is no Beit HaMikdash, lo, it does not apply. So the truth is that Rebbe Gamliel's court did uproot the Torah law, but it didn't uproot the Torah law by overpowering it or by negating it. It interpreted it. It said this is a Torah law that only applies in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. When it's not time of Beit HaMikdash, it doesn't apply. So they didn't actually uproot it. They just interpreted it so that it no longer applied at this time. And Rebbe Gamliel was overseeing the Sanhedrin at the time when the second Beit HaMikdash had just been destroyed. Okay, that brings us to two dots. So we are at the two dots, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up in the skinny lines. Nine lines up in the skinny lines. And here, always in between the two dots, we're quoting the Mishnah. So we're returning from a long digression related to the laws of Shemitah back to the laws of Chol HaMoed. And in our Mishnah, it said, Aval lo mimei ha-geshamim u-mimei ha-kilon. It said that even in a time when you are allowed to water a field in Chol HaMoed, you may not water that field from pools of rainwater or from a well in which you needed to lower a bucket into the well and drop water. And the reason is both of these are considered to be a tremendous amount of effort, tircha yetera. And because of the tircha yetera of drawing the water, you were not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. As we saw, the main rabbinic avoidance, the thing that the rabbis wanted you to avoid on Chol HaMoed, was having to undergo too much labor, too much intensive labor. So bishlama me kilon, the Gemara says, it makes sense to me that well water, ika tircha yetera, there is a tremendous amount of effort because you have to lower the bucket all the way down into the well, scoop the water into it, and then raise it all the way back up. So it's quite a lot of effort for a pail of water. Ela me gishami my tircha ika, but a pool of rainwater, why is there such a tircha? It could be a full pool of rainwater. You just dip the bucket in and you have water. So why is it such a big tircha? So the Gemara is going to give two answers. Amar Rabbi La, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The first answer is that of Rabbi Yochanan. Gezeira, it is a decree, megeshamim, against rainwater, atu me kilon, because it will lead to taking water out of a well. In other words, it's true that taking rainwater out of a rain pool is not such a big tircha, but since it's fundamentally similar, you lower the bucket into it, and to get the water, they the rabbis, as a way of building a fence around the Torah, also forbade that so that you wouldn't come to think that you could also lower your bucket into a well. So the two of them went together. In other words, they're conceding that it's not so much effort to use megishamim, but the decree covered both of them so as not to create confusion. That's Rabbi Yochanan's answer. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Rav Ashi amar, megishamim gufaihu, the rainwater itself, gufaihu itself, lidei me kilon atu. It will come to being like well water. So this means probably that as you scoop the water out of the rain ditch, the water level will get lower and lower and lower until it becomes a tirchiyatera to get the water out of that well. And as we'll see in our following sugya, in the next recording, there is an issue of using pools of water that are not replenished. If they are not being fed by an additional source, then as you scoop the water out of it, the water will get lower and lower, and it'll become more and more of a tircha to get the water out. So that's the second answer. The second answer is that, yes, a full pool of rainwater will not be tircha yatera, but as you empty it, it will become rainwater. The kamipalgi and the disagreement between these two interpretations, bidrabizera, can be seen as a nafkamina, in the opinion of Rabbi Zera. To Amar Rabbi Zera says, Amar Rabba, in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiyah, Amar Shmuel, who says it in the name of Shmuel, Neharot HaMoshchin Mayin Mina Agamim, rivers that draw water from pools of water, Mutar LaHashkot Mehen, it is permitted to irrigate from them, B'chulo Shel Moed, on Chol HaMoed. That is Rabbi Zera's opinion, that you can use these rivers that are fed by pools of water. Mar Itle, Rabbi Zeira, one of the opinions here says that you can hold like Rabbi Zeira. That is the one who said that you'll be afraid that the water level will go down and therefore at a certain point will become too much of a tircha. That person, that's Rav Ashi, he holds like Rabbi Zeira. So if the water is continuously fed and the level won't go down, then he doesn't have a problem and you can use it because you're never going to end up with a tircha. Umar, but Rabbi Yochanan, late Rabbi Zeira. He does not hold like Rabbi Zeira because his opinion is that you're going to become confused between using pools of rainwater and using well water. So whether or not the rainwater is continuously fed from another stream or not, it's still fundamentally similar to well water, and therefore even in a situation of Rabbi Zeira where the river is fed by the pool of water, you still wouldn't be able to use it because the decree would still cover that example. Okay, that brings us to the first wide line. We will stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.